Today's daf in Masechet Yoma brought to you by Ben Chomot Yerushalayim, 21 years ago, is daf Nun. So we begin with 8 Fei Reb Yitzchok Nafcha right on top. 8 Fei Reb Yitzchok Nafcha L'Reb Ami. Reb Ami, remember, holds that the Kohen, who is taking the place, is being the Meshamish Tachtav, he needs to shecht another par. Now, it says by the par of the Kohen Mashiach, it says, V'otzi et kol ha-par, al-mechutz l'machaneh, el-mekom tor. Now, there it's talking about after Shechita, and it's saying that it's still called the par. V'otzi et kol ha-par. And therefore, apparently, a Kohen can actually be nichnas with the dam of the par of the Kohen that had originally shechted it and died. And that means his replacement is using the dam of the par, because over here it's calling it a par even after it's about to be taken out with the remains to be brought out.
So, Rami answers this, yeah, but that just means Shiotzi es kulo. It doesn't mean that you should take out the par, meaning that I'm calling it din of a par. It means finish the par. Whatever's left of it, it's a devarim, the skin, whatever's left, that's a pshat. Okay, how about this? The espar hachavta, you see that it says, it uses the lashon after the zrikas dam. It says, the espar hachavta, and why is he calling it par hachavta, according to you? The espar hachavta, the sir hachavta, both of which is what's left, and we're still referring it to it as the par and the soyer. Omrifab, of course, because over there it's referring to or, ubosor, v'peresh, the kuleyama lobligin. Where you're talking about the evarim? You're talking about skin. You're talking about the perish inside of it, which was its physical body. Of course, that's called the par. I mean, we always refer to it. I mean, that's the corpse of the par. But the shadow, the dam, if you call the dam the par, that's what I was arguing about. I'm saying the dam is not a par. Certainly the body of a par is a par. That was not the issue. He believed the dam. Mar samar dam yikri par, and mar samar dam lo yikri par. So you can't bring me rayas from places where there's actually a goof that's around that I could still refer to. It seems to me that just reading the psukim, it's much more reasonable to say that the dam is the par. I mean, is that the whole meaning of the pasuk? It says, "Bezos yavo Aaron el Hakodesh bepar ben bakar." What do you mean, the par ben bakar? I mean, what does it mean? He drags in a par ben bakar into the kachy hakadosh with him. Oh, the bakar nemayalai. Was he pulling on its horns to drag it in? What does it mean? Elav dambo bakar olay bepar. So you see that the Torah specifically is referring here to the dam of the par, isn't it? Beida. What is the meaning of the other seed of sheet? Obviously, the mahuchshar Aaron lavoi lakodesh bepar ben bakalachatas. What I'm trying to say is, what is that which is machshar Aaron? Not with what should Aaron walk in with the par. It doesn't mean with what he should walk in. It means with what preparation he's able to walk in by bringing a par bakalachatas. Obviously, the par itself doesn't have to be there.
According to the other sheet, what would they do with the Aaron? The
tape play the kata shemetsu ba'al. What are we talking about anyway? If the Kohen Gadol shechted the par, was a makabel the dam, and then died, how could you possibly give over the dam to the gan? Even if you know that the par means yes, the dam shalom. It's a kata shemetsu ba'al. Who's the baal of this kata? Aaron. That's be mishalom. So the din of a kata shemetsu ba'al. Kata shemetsu ba'al. The mishnah. It has to die anyway. You're not allowed to use it. The dam is completely possible for Aveda. What sense does the whole Shaila make? Anyway, Omle Rabin Baravada the Rabba, Amri Talmi Be'afa, your Talmidim say that Omre of Amram Chathas Tziburdi, Veloyla Misa'as. Since the power of Aram, although it was paid for by Aram, is being brought for all of the Kayanim, as the Vidoy says, Beis Aram Akkadar Shefa, that makes it a Korban seed. But since it's brought for the Tzibur, the thing is that a tzibur is not a zolomis. It's not. And what's the raya? That it's a chatas tzibur? Omar lo Rabbi Meir, balo par yom hakipurim bechaviti kohen gadol bepesach the korban yofilu the doge tashabos. So when we find over there, there's the Tanakama who says over there that the klal is that if you have a korban yofid, it's not doche shabbos and truma. If you have a korban tzibur, it is doche shabbos and truma. Says Rabbi Meir to that Tana and Tmura, he tells him, how can you say such a thing? Is it the par of Yom HaKippurim a korban yachid? And nonetheless, it is Dov HaShabbos. Now, doesn't that imply, Lach Niflal, that the Tanakhama held, Tikalaman the Omar the Tzibur, that it's considered to be a korban tzibur and not a korban yachid? And that's what we're going like, not like Rabbi Meir. Oh, come on. That's not a riot. Well, it's time back. Victoni, it also says, and a Bryson referring to that Mishnah, Omala Rabbi Yaakov, Halopar elam dover shal tzibur v'ziria v'kipavim v'chagiga the korban tzibur ve'ein doichin loyaz haShabbos loyaz haTumah. We find that Rabbi Yaakov had another comment to make about the Tanakama's approach of his klal. How can you say such a klal? And what about the par elam dover shal tzibur? Those are korbanos yachid, and nonetheless they're not doichin Shabbos and Tumah. So what are you going to say? So that proves that there's somebody who holds that the par elam dover shal tzibur is a korban yachid. I mean, that's what you're saying. You're saying if anybody's arguing the Tanakama, it must be that the Tanakama had the opposite opinion. I mean, is that ridiculous? But how can you call the Par Elam Dover Shal Tzibur, which by definition is a Korban Tzibur, you're going to call it a Korban Yachid? You completely misunderstand what Rebbe Meir and the Tanakama are arguing. What happened over here is that Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Yaakov were both disagreeing with the way the Tanakama raised the rule about Tchiyah Shabbos. And Ela the Tanakama from Mahadim. They're arguing, they're coming to point out that the Tanakama is a mistake. They're not arguing because they hold a different din in the carbon than the Tanakhama does. The Shami, the Karma carbon, Sibur Dorbut, the Shabbos, the Tuma, the carbon Yochid, Ena Dorbut, the Shabbos, the Lawyer, the Tuma. After hearing the Tanakhama state that the Klal is simply to remember that this is the din of carbon Sibur, and this is the din of carbon Yochid. Omelo Rabbi Meir, so Rabbi Meir says, well, I can certainly tell you one thing, that carbon Yochid, Klal, you call that a Klal about the carbon Yochid, that it's not there for Shabbos, the Tuma. Hello, Pariyom, and Kiburim, Tabit, Karim, Gorlo, the Pesach, they're all carbon Yochid. Nonetheless, furthermore, says Rabbi Yaakov, Korban Tzibur Klalu, you call that a Klal, that Korban Tzibur is Derech for Shabbos and Tumah? Well, what about a Par Elam Dover Shal Tzibur? What about Tziri Avedis Kechavi? What about Chagiga? Later on the Gemara will say why we call the Chagiga a Korban Tzibur. That all of these are Korban Tzibur. They ain't Derech for the Shabbos and Tumah. So therefore, your Klal is up the creek. But certainly we're not arguing about the facts. We're not arguing whether the Par is a Korban Yachid or a Korban Tzibur, or about whether the Par Elam Dover Shal Tzibur is a Korban Yachid or a Korban Tzibur. We're just pointing out that you phrased the Klal wrong. Here's the right way to say the Klal. Ela Nekot Hai Klal of Yadefa. This is what Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yaakov are telling the Tanakhama. The correct phraseology would be Kosh Zmano Kavua Dovah Tashavah Zatuma Afilu B'Yachid. The Kosh Ein Zmano Kavua Ein Dovah Lo Zatuma V'Lo Shavah Zatuma Afilu B'Tzibur. The Klal is not dependent on who owns the Korban. The Klal is and then Chiyastuma and Chiyashavah is dependent on whether the Torah assigned it a Moyeh, but this is when it has to come. This is when it has to come. Then it's there for Shabbos and Tumah. If not, put it off. Don't bring it on Shabbos and Tumah. All right, what about Chagiga? Since Chagiga has Tashlumin of Shiva, this is not when it has to come. All right, then meanwhile, what are we left with? That we do not have any raya that there's someone who holds that the Par of Aaron is called a Chavos of Tzibur. So we're still sort of hanging with our first problem. Why is it not considered to be a Korban Yochid? Hey, so you guys are coming for Daf Yomi? Daf Yomi? Right. You may have to bring in some chairs from the big house. I don't know. You came in for some heavy duty learning over here. This is a real top Gemara. Okay. So anyway, as I say, we're left hanging because we have a problem over here of whether it's considered to be a carbon yachid. We have not been able to show that it's considered to be a carbon sibur at all. So why do we have the question of the par below the damar shofar? It's over there. Why? You don't want to give me the pleasure of looking at your faces. This one's over here. All right, so we're going to leave this hanging for a moment. What is going on here? You know what this is? It's a strike. That's what it is. It's a sit-down strike. They're not going to leave until they get a shoe that they want. It's just, I see already who I'm up against. Oh, all right. Ace Abaye. So we're leaving this question hanging, and we're going to go on to the next question, which will show us whether we had a right to consider it a carbon Sibur carbon rocket, and then we're going to get back to the original problem. Suppose we lost the bar of Yom Kippur, brought another one to take the place, and then found it. So the halacha is that it has to be allowed to die.
Achrem Kulam Yamru, to leave a review. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon Amrim Yerabu Ashisei, Bimachru. No, let them simply wander around until they finally scratch themselves on something, break something, and get a move. And then we can sell it. Then we'll take the money. The money will be used to purchase a carbon for a Nedova of the Tzibur, which is called Kaitzan Zaya. The reason is She'in Chatat Tzibur Mei, because the R, Sheyom HaKippurim, is a Chatat Tzibur, or Marlei. So you see, meanwhile, that we do consider the part to be the part of the Kohen Gadol, which is a carbon yachid. We're calling it a carbon Tzibur. Marlei, you read that wrong. You read it wrong. You said Par V'Seyer Sheyom HaKippurim. That's not what it meant. It was Par, comma, V'Seyer Sheyom HaKippurim, comma. Now, what Par was that? That was Par Elam Dovesh HaTzibur, right? So that was definitely a carbon Tzibur. The Seyer, which comes for the Kapara on everybody, is certainly a carbon Tzibur. So the only problem was that you had Par, when we just managed to knock it out. Wait, but it says Yom HaKippur. Yes, but that was only referring to the second thing. It's not going to work. Because the price says that it's not going to work. Parsha Yom HaKippurim, Vesayir Shayom HaKippurim, just in case anybody tries to get any ideas. We'll make it very clear. We're referring to the Par of Yom HaKippurim. Sha'abdu, V'yipu Shacharim, Tachteyem, Kulav Yamu, to Dibra of Yudhu, Rebelef, Rebbe Shimon, Omrim, Yirau, Achi, Zeyvu, Yimachru, V'yipu, Dameyem, Lidabah, Shein, Chatat, Sibur, Meina. Meanwhile, what we said, it is considered to be a Chatat, Sibur, which is exactly what we were trying to persuade Rava that your student said this. And here's the proof. The proof is that we find a writer that says this is considered to be a Chatat Sibur. So he said, that's, you don't understand. I have no concerns for the din. Then you're right. But you oversimplify it. You're calling it. You think there's only two categories. There's a category of a Chatat Yogi, and then there's a category, which is yes, Meita, and so on. And then there's the Chatat Sibur. But the truth is, a Chatat Sibur is a Chatat brought by the Sibur, for the Sibur as a whole. What this is a partnership. Now, partnership, there's three levels. There's individual ownership, there's public ownership, and there's partnership. Partnerships are a different level of private ownership, but they're not public ownership. So to say that because I bring the carbon for all of the Kohanim, so therefore it's considered to be public ownership, that's not true. It's nothing but a big partnership. Now we'll see what the difference is. But you shouldn't have said, She'in chatat sibur meita. La'ema she'in chatat hashutafim meita. You should say, partnership, don't lose, because one of the partners is alive. If it's not everybody is dying, so the Kohen Gadol dies. So we have another Kohen who also is a partner. That's why we don't have to worry about it. I said, my napkin. What are we talking over here? Semantics, or we're talking over here the Allah? Who cares whether we call it a partnership, we call it public ownership. The bottom line is the same thing. What are you getting so pedantic for? Oh, no, this is why. Because you have to ask yourself, why am I telling you that the ownership of Kohanim is considered to be a partnership and not a public ownership? Because, but let me ask you something. Suppose there would be an entire Shevet, let's say the entire Shevet Reuven, was bringing a korban. How could such a thing happen? Remember that each Shevet had its own Supreme Court. According to most Rishonim, it was a Beit Din of each Shevet. Suppose there was a mistake made by the Beit Din of the Shevet of Reuven, and they said it was okay to eat such and such. They fats. It turns out that was a key of Aretz, and therefore we have to bring a par elam dover shel tzibur. They bring a par elam dover shel tzibur. So in other words, the ownership of the Shevet of Reuven is not considered to be partnership, it's considered to be public ownership. If it would be a question of the family in Shevet Reuven, the family is a big partnership. So that means that we make a distinction between shvatim, which are considered to be a tzibur, and there's tzukim that indicate that we call them kahal, we see by Yaakov, but it's called kahal, eidav, and I call it tzibur. Now the question is, then you should ask me, so if I'm bringing something for all of the Kohanim, which one of the distinct groups in Yisrael. Plus, they have a Beit Din Shekhanim. As we've seen many times, they have their own courts. So then why is that not public ownership? That's what I'm trying to bring out to you. That public ownership is only possible if you own a piece of land in Eretz Yisrael. In other words, you are not a public if you don't own an area that can be defined as your area. The Kohanim do not own land, right? And therefore, they're not considered to be a public. Because the only time the Torah defines a group as a public group in any of these questions is if they are one of the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. Since over here the Kohanim do not have a boundary in Eretz Yisrael, what are we going to say? Where's the land of the Kohanim? So therefore, they don't bring a farm, and that's why I want to make clear to you, stop calling it a public part. It's not a public part, it's a partnership. I have no complaints about the din. You're absolutely right. It would never die because one of the partners will not. But I don't like the way you're phrasing it because it makes a big difference. So then, my nafkamina, why am I making such an issue out of it? I want to make it clear to you that if the Beit Din Shekhanim make a mistake, there's no din of Farhel and Dover Shal Tzibur and Tashma. The boy of the Lord. Yivrei HaOmer, Har Yom HaKippurim, Korban Yachid. osa tomorrow, in osa tomorrow. So find over here that we have in the Braita, we have a question that according to he who holds that the par on Yom Kippur is an individual korban, I want to know whether I can make a tumura with it or not. Tumura means that I take another animal, and I say this should take the place of this one. And what is the din in that case? Both of them become kadosh, and I can't switch the kedusha from one to the other. So the question is, if it's a korban yachid, is it a korban yachid that can also make a tumura or not? Now, forgetting right now for a moment, what's the difference? Isn't that, and does that not imply lav mechlal dikelam andi amadetz? If you say, according to he who holds it, it's an individual carbon, so that means that there's somebody who holds it's a public carbon. And that's what we were trying to prove to you before. Not necessarily. No, I'd say, you see, because the din is that a partnership cannot make a tumura either. Since the Torah says, the im hamer yamir is singular. So that means that it wants us to know that if one person owns a carbon, he has the sole right over the kedusha of this carbon, he can take another animal and he can try to make a tumura on it, which messes both of them up. They both become. But if there's more than one owner, you can't make a tumura at all. The problem over here wasn't because I'm contrasting yoki and tumura necessarily. I could be contrasting yoki and shittim. All right, but as far as the original question is concerned, we're doing okay. Our problem was, how can you ask whether we can bring in the dam if the Kohen Gadol dies suddenly in the middle of the avoda? Anyway, it's a korban, it's a chatat shemei tovah le'ah. Our answer is that it's a partnership, and therefore it's not shemei tovah le'ah. And now we have to determine on its own merits whether I can use the dam or whether I need to start all over. And we leave with that, and we have our argument. And that. Now, which is very interesting, what Rabbi Lazar just raised the question of whether you can make a tumura or not. Let's think about that. By Rabbi Lazar, the divrei omer sparing alaki morim korban yachid. Aset tumura, I know aset tumura. My kalibah, what is bothering? Why not? The problem is like this. Remember that the par yom kippurim, even if it's an individual korban, who is being brought for all of the korbanim? Right? In other words, I own it. So there's two issues over here. There's the ownership of the korban. There's the one who made it the korban. And then there's the purpose of the korban. For whom is it coming? In this case, the korban is owned by one individual, the Kohen Gadol. Who is it coming for? As he says in the viewing, on the par, he says, for all of Beit Aharon. So now, maybe this is what Rebbe Lozer wanted to do. We say, Ibatam Magdish Aslina, Ibatam Etchaper Aslina. Perhaps that's what he wants to know. Do we look at it in terms of who made it the korban, in which case it's an individual? So the individual has all rights on it and he can make it tumura. Or do we look at it in terms of who is going to get out of this korban kapara, in which case it's the entire group of the Kohanim, so it becomes a partnership. And then you cannot make it more. That's ridiculous. That's shtam. Everybody knows the answer to that. The batar mit chaper azlinan. Certainly you go according to the one who gets the chaper. Why? The general rule is hamagdish musikomish. The one who made the thing kodesh. The thing is that if you go ahead now to redeem something that you made kodesh, you have to add 20%. It's actually 25% now, it's because we live on. And even though you made this kodesh for someone else, so that so-and-so should I'm bringing this. You come to the Beit HaMikdash. You say, I'm bringing this for so and so. And now you want to go ahead and redeem it. You have to add the 25%. So and so wants to redeem it. He doesn't have to add 25%. That's because it says the Beferish in the post. Im Hamagdish Yigaloto Yosif Hamishito Allah. So Tzavka the Magdish. Okay. Hamitchaper Osef Murah. The one for whom it's being brought is the one who makes the Murah, not the one who brought the Korban. What about somebody uses his own grain in order to take off Truma for someone else's field? So generally the rule is that when I take off Truma, actually have it in Yerushalmi, that I have a right to what's called the Tovat Hana'ah, which means I can sell. Somebody comes over to me and says, look, I have a son-in-law who's going to marry my daughter. I'd appreciate it if you're going to choose which Kohen to give this Truma to. Give it to my son-in-law, right? Or give it to my grandson, and he's allowed to eat it because he's a Kohen. No, I'm not. No, I'll pay you $100. You give him $10,000 worth of Truma. So you're allowed to take that money. And that's called the Tovat Hana'ah. If I'm the one who's giving the truma from my own, but you're the one who owns the field, then I am the one who has the right to take that money. But in any event, these three rules tell us that when it comes to determining who can make a tumura, what's the rule? That the mitchaper makes a tumura, which case over here, it's obviously a partnership, because we look at who it's being brought for. And if it's a partnership, then nobody can make the tumura. So that couldn't have been what Rebbe Lozer wanted to know. So then what was he asked? So therefore, he knew that it was owned, as far as tumura is concerned, by the Kohen. The question is like, do we say that the other Kohanim that get the Kavura, is it truly being brought for them? That's what Kviyuta means. Kviyuta means it is Kavua. The essence of this Korban is in order that the Kohanim should own. Incidentally, along the way, we can use it for purpose B. So maybe, in essence, this Korban is being brought for the Kohen Gadol. As we see, he has a separate doing. First, and just incidentally, once he is getting his kapara, maybe the Torah allows a kapara for the other kohanim, in which it would not be a partnership korban, because this wouldn't really be a full kapara for the other kohanim from the essence of the korban. That's what he asked, and that we leave hanging. We're not going to deal with that issue right now. I think that we can prove what the ruling is. It says, Komer Bezevach, by the way, I just want you to know that Rabbeinu Hananel has a very unique explanation of Mikufia. Normally, Mikufia, the word Mikufia, Rashi always explains on the basis of Targum. This happens in dozens of places. Rashi very much likes us. It says, Betzafaha Barzel, and we're talking about when the hatchet fell in, right? And they said, it says the Barzel, Safa, which means to float. And over there, the Targum is Vekapa Barzel. So Kapa, says Rashi, means to float. So in other words, you have a floating kapora, which means it sort of just hangs on top over there, whereas the main body of the water is underneath. Or you have the kviut of the kapora, which is the essence of the weight that you have. That's how Rashi understands it. Now, in 99% of places where this occurs, there's no way to say what the Rabbeinu Hananel says. So I think what Rabbeinu Hananel is looking at it as sort of a borrowed term. Because clearly it can't be mikufya metap in the normal sense, the Torah says it's like Arbus 4. Why? Where would I get the idea that it should only be a floating kapora? Therefore, he says, mikufya means meheket. Mehekev, says he, means when everybody is gathered around, which means when everybody gets together to listen to the vidui on Yom Kippur, that's when they get their kapara. So therefore, what he wanted to know was, what if before then you said, before the time that you made the kapara on them with the vidui, you wanted to make it a tamura? Maybe at that point it's not theirs yet. Totally different approach than Rashi, and a very unusual way of looking at the obras, the kapara of the korban. He sees it as being two separate stages. At one point, it's really an individual's korban, it belongs to the kohen gadol, maybe. And at the second stage, it belongs to the rest of the kohanim. There's a moment in between. No, but he means the time, the point at which everyone gathers around. So apparently, he considers it to be a borrowed plan. We don't mean it the way you usually, so it doesn't all over to look at it. Anyway, now let's try to analyze the case of Stephen Kabo Benetoshma. Remember that there's two ways in which we have Kiddushan. One is to simply make something go there, the other is when we have an existing Kiddushan on a korban to use it to make something else go there, which is to make it more. Now, there are certain ways in which a zeva is more powerful. In other words, the initial Kiddushan is more powerful than the tumura. But there's other ways in which the tumura, which is the secondary Kiddushan, is more powerful than the zeva. How is komer b'zeva? What's more powerful about the original Kiddushan? First of all, when you're making Kiddushan, you can do that either as an individual or even as the public. Furthermore, in the Zevach, it's possible to find a case where Dochet HaShabbat, a korban can at times, we said, if it's Kavuelo Zman, be Dochet Bo Shabbat and Tuma. Voset Mura, furthermore, the original Kedusha has sufficient power to be transferred to a secondary korban, which then becomes the Tumura. Masha Inkein, the Tumura. None of those things are true about a Tumura. A public cannot create a Tumura, as a matter of fact, even a partnership can. There's never a Tumura that will be Dochet Shabbat, for obvious reasons. And a Tumura itself cannot make a second Tumura because it's not powerful enough. But on the other hand, Chomer b'Tumura mi b'zeva. Shal Tumura chala al ba'almun kavua. Number one, if I have a ba'almun, if I have something that has a blemish on it, I cannot make it a korban initially. But if I have already the kedushan a korban and I bring an animal with a blemish and I say this animal should take the place of this one, then it does become kodesh. So in other words, the secondary kedusha is more powerful in a sense in that it's also chal on a ba'almun. Furthermore, ve'ayotz al chulim le'gazez v'le'ave. In a sense, it's an indication of the person. Because once any animal has Yushat HaGuf on it, so it was first Kodesh, and then it gets a move. And now I want to redeem it. I can only redeem it for purpose of eating. I'm not allowed to use it for working a field. I'm not allowed to use it for shearing, for wool. Okay. Since the Tumura, even though the Tumura now is a Balmu, since it's Kiddushat HaGuf, so it's like any other Korban, which was a normal Zeva, which then became a Balmu, and there, that's the Halakha. You cannot take it out because it's a Le'aveh. If you took something that was blemished initially and you said, this should be Kodesh. So what's the thing? It only becomes Kodesh in terms of its financial value, but not in terms of its actual body. Therefore, the moment that I pay for it, it loses all of its Kiddusha and I can do whatever I want. So, therefore, I'll never find such a case by Tumura and I will find such a case by Zev. So now let me ask you something. Let's try to figure out a case where these things can be true. What could I have said these rules on? Give me a case. I Zev, I'll take it. Give me an example. Elam and Yafid is talking about a personal korban. Well, that's impossible, because we started off saying that the power of the korban is that it's dofe Shabbat, dofe Tumah, which it's not here. Midofe Shabbat v'Tumah, Ela v'Tzir. Okay, so what are we talking about? We're talking about a public korban. So then the second part isn't true, because then it never makes it Tumura. Mi'osa Tumura. There's only one case. Ela Olam Tumah. You have to be talking about power of Yom Kippur, which is dofe Shabbat and Tumah, because it violates Tumah. It has a particular time. We already established in Amud Aleph that if something has a particular time, then it's dofe. And furthermore, it's Osa Tumura, the korban Yakedu. That's what Rebbe Elazar wanted to know. What's the din of power of Shabbat? Does it make it Tumura or not? Well, if you think about it, there's no other option but to say that this mission that contrasts Zevach Tumura was contrasting the Zevach of the power with the Tumura of the power, in which case there must be such a thing as the Tumura of the power, which tells us that the power is a korban yofid and it can make it Tumura. Om Rav Shesha, who said? I got a better idea. Ve'elo shel Aaron. Who said it's talking about the power of Aaron, which goes for all of the Kohanim? Maybe it's going on the El Aaron, and the din of the El Aaron is that it's Doche Shabbat Tumah because it's Kavolo Zman. But it's not coming for anybody else except for him personally, and therefore there's no problem with making it Tumura. And Okinami Mishtabit, and it's got to be talking about that, and not the power. Why? Because Isagadate, the Paro, if you say it's referring to the power of Aaron, and that it can make it Tumura, so then what do you mean? Tumura, the power. Shabbos v'tumo de la dafka. Hobbuko mikra power, but what are you talking about? You're telling me that the problem over here is that, well, if it turns out to be Shabbat, somebody's tummy, he can't bring it. Oh, so you mean if it's a normal weekday, then you can bring it? It's ridiculous. Because then it's a tumura of achatas, right? And then it's a tumura of achatas lamitas. That has to die. We would never bring it, so we can't possibly have contrasted it with Shabbat tumah. In which case, the only solution, that we're talking about the Isle of Aaron. Not the power of Aaron. The Isle of Aaron, what was it? The Isle of Olah. An Isle of Olah indeed makes a Tumura, which I would have brought if it wouldn't be Shabbat. I would bring it. And that's what the Mishnah is saying over here. That it's not Doche Shabbat Tumah, but on a normal day it's okay. That doesn't prove it. Leolam the Paro, I could be talking about Par. When it says Tumura over here, it doesn't mean that there exists such a case in which the same Korban that I was referring to as a Zeva is also capable of making a Tumura and so on and so forth. It's referring to Shem Tumura. The concept of Tumura. I'm comparing the concept of Tumura to the Zeva. In the concept of Tumura, is it possible to say these words? That a Tumura as a concept will never be Dofe Shabbat Tumah? Yes. Do I mean in the particular case that we're referring to over here, where I'm going to contrast the power of Aaron with a power of Tumura of Aaron? No, I don't mean that. Of course, I wouldn't have said those words in this case because they wouldn't have made any sense. So what I'm doing is I'm contrasting a concept with a korban. Now, of course, it's a little bit ridiculous because if I'm going to contrast the concept, I have to contrast the concept with the concept, not contrast the concept with a particular korban. And it doesn't make sense that I'm looking around now, okay, let's figure out, gosh, what are we talking about? We're talking about the aisle, we're talking about har, and then when I come to discuss the tumura, I say, well, I didn't really mean anything particular, I was just talking about the idea. You didn't mean anything particular, say, I want to contrast the idea of a zeva with the idea of a tumura, but never will there be a time in which I could have said what I'm saying about any particular one thing, because it'll never happen. There's never one thing which is also going to be a korban that's Doche Shabbat, whereas the Tumura wouldn't be Doche Shabbat, but would be Doche B'chol. No such thing. So how comes? It comes out of a sort of crazy case. When it comes to identifying the Zevach, I got to identify a particular, but when it comes time to identify the Tumura, there all of a sudden I switch the concept. This is what the Gemara wants to know. Wait a second. And what are we doing here? Why are we looking for a particular thing? Why don't we just say that the same way we were talking about a concept in Tumura, we're talking about a concept of a Zevach. Oh no, you see that one more. Shem Zevach lo katani. We can't be referring to the concept of a particular Zevach, of a concept of a Zevach. We've got to be referring to a particular Zevach. How do you know that? You know why? Because if you don't say that, the whole thing breaks down. It doesn't make any sense. Because one of the things that we said was Chomer b'Tmura. We said Tmura is more powerful than the original Korban. In what sense? Shat Tmura chala ba'amun kavua v'eni yotzei v'chulin negezei v'leyadei. So in other words, you're telling me that the Tmura, if the animal is blemished, is nonetheless a Tmura. But a Zevach, if the animal is blemished, is not a Tmura. It's not a Zevach, right? And now you want to tell me, and that means the concept of a Zevach. Oh yeah? How about a Bechor? Does the concept of Zevach include a firstborn animal that's automatically Kodesh? Certainly does. So what's the rule if that firstborn is born with a congenital defect? It's still Kodesh. So obviously there's such a thing as initial Kiddusha that is Chal on a blemished animal. So I can't be referring to the concept. I've got to be referring to a particular animal. So that's why I didn't want to say that when we were talking about the Zevach, we were talking about a concept. Because it's not true as a concept. If you think that when we say the word Zevach, we refer to the concept of Zevach in general and not to a particular thing, the din is that both Bechor and Maaser, which is the tenth animal to come through the door, and I don't care what it looks like, whether it's got a blemish on it or not, it's automatically Kodesh, even though it's a Zevach and not a Tzimura. And that is Chalin al Ba'al Mum Kavua, and Ein Yotzin Uchulin Gezezim Le'Aved. We'll never be able to redeem it, to make it usable for us to go and to work our fields with it, or to go and to shear it. Therefore, I can't be referring to a concept, I have to be referring to a particular. So now we have a very funny situation. When we're talking about a Tzimura, we're talking about a concept. When we're talking about a Zevach, we're talking about a particular thing. Does that make sense? And either we ought to compare a concept to concept, a thing to thing. I mean, it's completely inconsistent. Is there a reason why I would do something like that? Says the Gemara, says Maishna Tzimura. Why then, when it comes to Tzimura, did we look at the concept? I'll tell you something more, very simple. Because Shem Tzimura Achat, when it comes to Tzimura, I can discuss it as a concept, because there's no cases in which that concept breaks down. Whatever I said about Tzimura is true about every Tzimura on earth. But if I would talk about the concept of Zevach, I'd have to start saying, well, it depends, you see, what type of Zevach. So I can't talk about that. Therefore, it makes sense that since Shem Tzimura Achat were a Zevach, Ike B'chor V'Ikam Maaser, anyone who reads this Mishnah knows that where we talk about Tzimura, we might as well discuss it as a concept, because it's always true. But where we're talking about Zevach, we can't be referring to it as a concept, because then it's not always true. In which case, let's identify the particular Zevach that we are referring to, in which all of these rules hold up, and contrast it with the idea of Tzimura. But that doesn't mean we have to contrast it with the same Zevach as a Tzimura. Still a perfectly valid contract.